Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Just don't call it a podcast.
Well, I think we're live. Nine people are watching us, Ebro.
Yeah. Nobody? How many?
Nine. So we just started.
What's up, nine people watching? So to give y'all the full story on why we on Tuesdays do this, what are we calling it? The after show, after party? Program show thingamajig? Mm-hmm. Just don't call it a podcast, please.
Don't call it a podcast.
I'm tired of those.
I've been here for years.
Are y'all tired of podcasts, real talk? Rosenberg, do you see podcasts pop up and are you tired of them?
You have been, well, let's just be fair here. You've been on an anti-podcast kick since the start of podcast.
Well, because I don't like the name. And the name is stupid. Well, no, the name is great in its original intended form, which is some sort of cast, a broadcast, whatever, that is meant for people with iPods. So right. It was a podcast. It was you to create on-demand audio to share with your friends on their iPods.
Right.
We don't but use now, iPods anymore.
Right. So,
but it became a brand name.
To answer your question, it's there's way too much, but at the same time, who am I of all people to?
You have how many podcasts?
I currently have three, and then both of my radio and then both the radio shows are podcasts.
So five.
So like in podcast forum, I'm out there in five different ways. So
I'm out there in one, two, three different ways.
By the way, you've got a lot for someone who doesn't like them.
Well, yeah.
Because they have two different Apple ones.
Yeah.
In addition to our show.
That's right. So I have three.
So.
Because really a podcast is just on-demand audio without commercials and without music.
Yeah.
Which we've always done. It's just now they call it a podcast.
No, we didn't always do that.
Well, no. I mean, you could always get on-demand audio, though.
Ebro, I'm looking at the... I'm going to see if anything interests you. I'm looking at the... Oscar nominations 2024.
Oh,
it's a quick notable
thing
here.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, the best picture. You know, the best picture category is huge now.
There's like 20
picture,
films in it.
American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers.
I think it's Anatomy of a Fall.
Correct. The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon. Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest.
Mm. I've only seen Killers of Flower Moon.
You like that one?
It's long, but I like it. Deals with Native American stories and white people trying to marry Native American people to steal their land and get oil money.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It's based on a true story.
I want to see American Fiction very much.
Yeah, you told me I need to see that one.
To see it too. Jeffrey Wright, by the way, nominated for Best Actor.
I love it. Good for him. He deserves it. He's an amazing actor.
So is Bradley Cooper for Maestro. Coleman Domingo for Rustin. Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, which I heard is great. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. And then Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction.
Mm. Did you see Oppenheimer?
Nope.
I'm not interested. There's like I've tried to like go look at the I just don't care. What am I missing? Am I missing anything in that story that I should care about?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the story. I know it's supposedly good. People really like the movie. Mm. So I'm interested somewhat. But yeah, I wasn't like... Obviously, I haven't seen it yet. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm desperate to see it. It's been out for 9 years. Other people of interest. The Best Supporting Actor category is fun. Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction.
Mm.
Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. That's a big category right there. Some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress, you got Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, which I also have not seen.
She bodied that character. That What's that character's apparently name so again? Yo, because in the original Color Purple, you don't the Oprah Winfrey character. You told Harpo to beat me, that character.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really delve in all the way to her going to prison and the whole, you know, interaction with the mayor's wife and that whole skit. They don't really dig into that story. They leave that story in on this one.
So this character has more oomph.
Oh, man, does it.
Let's see. I'm also interested that our dude, Mark Ronson, Oscar nominated for I'm Just Ken from Barbie soundtrack. So was the Billie Eilish song off there, What I Was Made For. What Was I Made For?
Sophia was the character's name. I had to Google it. Sophia. Sorry.
From Color Purple.
Color Purple, yeah. But yeah, shout out to Mark Ronson. Sorry about that.
That's a second nom. He already has an Oscar win for he wrote Shallow. He wrote the joint from Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga and them. Stars Born,
yeah. I didn't even know he did that.
Yeah. This is the second nom.
Yo, Mark Ronson comes from that cloth though.
No, I know. I talked to Mark Ronson this week. That guy has a lot in the he's done a lot of things, that guy. And by the way, I don't know if he said, I don't want to get into his business, but he's soon going to be telling a version of his story. Yo, his DJ life that he lived is so interesting and so multi-connected.
I used to go to his party.
Cool. That's where the cool kids went.
I used to go to the Mark Ronson Q-Tip parties, Mark Ronson Just Blaze parties. Those was ringing off in the city.
Yeah. He's like, he's one of those hip hop dudes, like straight hip hop nerd who's connected to like the highest end Hollywood ish also, but was a straight up backpack. He was in the Flip Squad.
He sure was. His dad is Lawrence Ronson, though. Ronson, wasn't he in a rock band?
Like I thought his stepdad's in Foreigner.
Oh, was that his stepdad was in Foreigner?
I think his stepdad's in Foreigner. Okay. Cold as ice, Shawnee. It's cold as ice to you and me.
Cold as ice.
And then how about this, though? When it comes to have family members that are popping off, how about this?
Hmm.
You know who his father-in-law is?
Who?
He got remarried He was divorced and remarried a couple years ago.
Okay.
His mother-in-law is Meryl Streep.
What? Yeah, it says it right here. I'm looking at it. Meryl Streep. Yeah, so he's in.
Nah, he's in. He's in.
He's in the game. He knows. So, yeah. Listen, he knows how to move around these Hollywood entertainment circles and get things done.
Say it again.
I say he knows how to move around these Hollywood entertainment circles. Well,
but here's the thing. So I was saying to my wife yesterday, I was like, yo, me and Mark Ronson, we're the same guy, except he's rich, tall. Well, that was a little broad. Sorry. He's rich, tall, handsome, and half British. Besides that, though, it comes to our interest, our sensibility. Oh, no. Man.
But there's one other thing you forgot out. He can actually play instruments.
Oh, yeah.
There's that.
You mean like the song that he just won that was nominated for the Oscar for that he wrote and composed?
That's right. He can actually play an instrument. He doesn't just, you know, play with little doodads and, you know, technology. Thingamajigs. Nah.
He can actually play
an instrument. He can pick up a guitar and strum it live, actually.
Yeah, he could play lots of things. So anyway, shout out to
Mark Ronson, man.
Did you see Barbie?
I did not see Barbie, but Issa saw it, and she said it's really good. Matter of fact, I think she said her mom cried, and I heard from multiple, you know, people who get the adult aspects of the film that it's a really good film.
Well, obviously it's a theme about women, you know, and how they're seen in society and treated. And there's some parts about expectations for women. You know what I mean?
That really strikes a chord.
I think really strikes a chord. But then the beautiful thing about the song I'm Just Ken is they have a little sliver there where it's not just about mocking men. It's about how patriarchy essentially is fucked up for men, too.
Right.
It puts men in a terrible situation as well. It's just a different kind of terrible situation than the one women are put in. Nah, it's a good movie, man. I enjoyed it. I did. I watched it on HBO Max a couple weeks ago. It's a fun watch.
it didn't hit me. It, you know, Killers of the Flower Moon was more of my alley. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this, but keep in mind, I was able to watch Barbie on some, like, throw it on, casual, check a message, keep it moving.
You turned it on because you wanted to see hot chicks. You know what I mean? It's Barbie. Yo, that's what you turned it on for.
Issa Rae is a hot Barbie.
You see what I'm saying? Margot Robbie, let's not just stop. Don't even.
No, let's keep it a thou wow. There's some hot Barbies up there. You know what I mean? For sure.
So let's just be honest about why you turned it on. And luckily, you bumped into a cool message.
See? Isn't that beautiful, though? That's what life's all about.
Great filmmaking is all about, a great message, as well as, you know, quality entertainment. I'm into it. Now, back to how I started this Ebro in the Morning, Rosenberg and Laura Styles show after the show, after party.
Oh, the show, post-show show.
The post-show show. So we've been basically coerced into doing this. We're being held hostage, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
We're being forced to do this on Tuesdays after we finish the on-air portion and bring this off the air to help, I guess, is it to get people to watch us on YouTube? Is that what it is?
I believe so.
So is it helping? This is the second one. Was the first one considered great? Did we get any feedback from the people who asked us to do this?
You know what? It's a great point. And I believe King Lou is on our StreamYard. And we're not on the air, so we can do whatever we want. So King Lou, why don't you pop on in and tell us how we do?
How do we do? Because, you know, I need feedback. If you're going to ask me to do something, see, listen, when we do the morning show, we get ratings. Our ratings are great. Boom. I'm into it. Let's keep doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We do segments during the show. We hear feedback from the listeners. They research the segments that we do.
Sure.
We get feedback. They say they like them. We keep doing them. So now we're doing this. I want instant feedback. That's what the internet's all about. You know, that's why advertisers love mobile advertising. That's why, you know, people love podcasts and IG and TikTok. You know, you get to see behavior from the consumption instantly. So you don't have to wait weeks and weeks and weeks to know if you're doing something that's of value. Right now, King Lou's not even listening.
No, there he is.
This after segment.
He popped up. Lou? I thought he was there, and then he disappeared.
Told you.
Lou?
Not even listening. Shawnee's in the studio. He's not listening.
There he is, King Lou.
But I can't hear them.
What happened?
Oh, we hear you.
See,
what happened?
Shawnee wasn't listening. So we're doing this whole thing every Tuesday that people want us to do. Nobody's even listening to it. We got four people online. There was no pre-promotion from the Instagram on Hot 97.
Great point.
There's no nothing. So why are we even doing this?
It's a really good point by you. You hear Cass?
No, Cass is in the studio.
Are you guys live right now?
Yeah, we're live right now.
See, now. If this was so important, you would think that people would know that we're live right now.
And the team didn't even know.
I mean, there's 83 people watching. It's not four.
Oh, we got 83?
Yeah. Oh, wait, it went up. We got 93.
93? As soon as I started complaining, them numbers jumped.
Well, technically, you really have 92 because I'm one of the 93.
Oh, and you didn't know we was live.
No. Me and Shawnee were just talking.
Where's
about
King Lou? King Lou, this is King Lou's department. His whole department is the reason we're doing this. We can't even find him.
I gotta go DJ. I'll be back.
Oh, you know, you don't have time for this.
This is unfortunate. This is deeply unfortunate. What's happening?
Now, Rosenberg, am I off base to ask these questions? You want me to do a thing, but I can't even find out if you guys like the thing we're doing?
I think it's fair.
No feedback.
I think what you've said is fair. I don't know what we're doing here. Let me show you something important. I'm gonna share a screen here.
Now I'm different than Rosenberg for the audience, just so you know. Anyway. I do the show and I'm done talking. I only talk when I'm paid to talk. This is really who Rosenberg is. He loves to talk.
I do. I enjoy it. I pretended to do it even when I didn't have a place to do it.
Exactly. Me? No. I can go a whole day and not talk to anyone.
Baskin, will you bring my screen in here? I want to show this to Shawnee. It's important. The screen that I'm presenting on StreamYard, if you could pull that in there, Baskin.
I can't see what you're presenting.
Well, it's not up there yet.
It's not in this StreamYard. Are you on the right StreamYard? I don't see it.
Oh, damn it. I'm in the wrong StreamYard. Thank you, Baskin. Here we go.
Lou is here. Lou is here and his camera's on if you want to still talk to him.
Oh, Lou?
Yep, I'm
there.
Here.
He is.
My bad.
There he is. Super producer Lou.
I need to get the headphones on.
King Louis, what up?
King Louis. King Louis. The. I mean, it's not the A.
King Louis. King.
How did we do last week, Lou?
King Louis the 13th. You know, the finest.
King Louis the Rican. There you go.
No, I think last week for the first one, without really much announcement or anything like that, I think it did pretty well. There's definitely room to grow. I think you can definitely do better. But
we hear
Sean,
you, Griff.
Shut your mic off.
Sean, shut your mic off, Sean.
Go ahead, King Lou.
But I think there's definitely room to grow. There's potential.
Room to grow is, yo, literally office talk for this is bullshit. There's no room to grow. No. If this was the worst thing of all time, there'd be room to grow.
It's not the worst thing of all time.
Oh.
You know,
I got one guy here in the chat. His name is Dustin Branch. He says this post show is dope. Mr. Londoner writes, it's a low-key gem.
It's low-key, all right. Now, here's my question, Lou.
The lowest of keys.
Here's my question. Lou, why wasn't, if this is going to be a thing, though, to Ebro's point, why didn't we promote it this week, though? Was it promoted on social this week?
Look at his face. Look at him. Look at him.
Actually, no, I just told Rasan about it. I think we just needed a couple promotion tools so we can help.
Yo, but then why did we get rushed into doing this if there's no promotion tools?
Unfortunately, some of these decisions are above my
pay grade. Yo, look, in that office area where you are, if we need that whole area over there listening to the after show jump off program.
Yeah.
We need to be piped into those office speakers.
Oh, no, they're on.
Now, let's replace Lou, who's been fascinating. With Shawnee, I want to show you this important piece of information from the internet.
Thank you, Lou, for nothing.
Bascom, show Shawnee what I need to see. Yo, listen, man.
My Lord.
Kanye.
Wait, hold up.
Wait, what happened to that picture? Go back.
This is the
Yo, Bascom, why didn't you? Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Bascom.
Here it is.
Okay.
Listen, I may not agree with everything Kanye says.
Let's go. Let's go.
But let me tell you something we agree on.
Them titties.
We have found something Boom. That him and I are in lockstep on.
Yeah, yeah.
He want to keep him sexy.
Yo, my man's out here looking like Bill Belichick with the baddest joint.
Yeah,
that's not it. Bill Belichick dresses better than that.
He's stooped below Belichick level.
This is Kanye West.
Belichick would never wear those pants.
We're actually.
Are you looking at Kanye West or are you looking at Kanye's wife?
No, his lady.
Well, no, we're looking at Kanye West's outfit real quick.
It was mostly the purpose was for Bianca, but we were staying with it to analyze Kanye's outfit.
Yeah, yo, you're so in on the Kanye thing, you know his wife's name already. I don't know her name.
I don't know what your algorithm is. Her pictures show up every day. There's a story about them. They say, look, bro. Kanye and Bianca Sensory step out. Yeah, that's every day.
I don't see it.
She got them things, bro.
Thank you, Shawnee. You've eloquently put that.
I think she, honestly, though, I get concerned when I see women with that level of endowment without a brassiere on. I'm wondering where this is going. This is not going to a good place.
It's got
to
make it to the belly.
Them jammies.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
You got to protect them. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you were going to go to, I get concerned when I see her walking barefoot through Las Vegas that weird ass Kanye is forcing her to dress crazy. That's what I'm speculating.
He probably is.
He probably, because I know stories, and that is the thing he likes
Bobby
to do.
Bobby Brackens 93 writes, Kim batter, but this joint got a body. Thanks. Thanks, Bobby Brackett.
I don't know. Yo, I don't know. There's not a lot badder, though. Her badness is very high. I mean.
Well, because she don't have the yams. She got the mammaries, but she don't have the legs. Kim got the hips and tails.
Well, but Kim got yam help.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Some people like the manufactured yams.
Yam-ufactured?
Yeah. Ed writes, on God, this is the first time I heard her name. I'm with Ebro. She was Kanye's wife till now.
No, it's the first time I've said it out loud. If I'm being honest,
got it.
First time I've ever said her name out loud was today. But I know that her name is Bianca Sensory because it pops up. And I'm not going to lie, you know, the pictures are, how do I say, gripping?
Alluring.
Yo, gripping? What are you gripping, sir?
Hold on. You guys can see the screen, right?
Hey, yeah. Paparazzi.
Let's do a little. Let's do a little research here. Here we go. Doing, Bianca, man? Take a look. Here.
I think you gotta be careful, bro.
I think you gotta be careful, bro.
I think you gotta be careful, bro.
I think you need to rethink what you're doing right now, bro.
This is
after hours.
This is the after hours.
I gotta be honest. I'm not really with the whole like cosplay thing they're doing in public.
What exactly does that mean?
Like, I don't know. Cosplay. It just feels like it's an art installation or some sort of like, why is she dressed like this and why are you dressed like this?
I mean, you know, for the attention.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it is definitely cosplay and it is definitely for attention. So, and by the way, he definitely has a type. When you think about Kim to Julia Fox to this one.
Amber Rose.
But Amber was a different kind of type.
She was just a taller version, but body was...
No, but I didn't mean body. I meant the brunette thing, which Amber does not.
Oh,
you know, the ball. Well,
they all, but they all end up going blonde. He ends up making them all blonde.
You think this one's gonna end up blonde too?
Or bald, blonde, something, bald, yeah. Blonde, barefoot. Something's gonna happen.
Yeah, she is barefoot. We do know that for a fact.
Modern foundational Black American rights. He needs to leave the Caucasian women alone. You don't say that, foundational Black American.
Yo.
You don't say, modern foundational Black American.
Yo, that is a shocking comment from you. We are shocked that you said that.
Yo.
I'm trying to think of what could have been a more perfect comment.
Right.
If their name was like
Black American.
Nah, the only thing could have been better is that their name is I Love Titties 24. They're like, yo, I like this chick. Oh, really? Is that true?
You don't say.
Okay.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Fontigalo.
We could bring in Fonte Bascom. Bring in our friend Fonte from Little Brother. There he is.
Is Fontigalo.
What's good? What's good, man? Can y'all hear me? Is everything cool?
Fontigalo is crazy. I've never heard that. Why is he look scared?
I've never heard that either. I don't know.
You never heard that.
I always say Fontigalo. That was what I knew. But.
No, I Fontigalo. I literally just made up Fontigalo just because.
Hey, brother.
I get it.
Yo, did you hear the comment that Ebro just spotted from the guy whose name was Foundational Black American?
I'm looking at it now. That's crazy.
Modern Foundational Black American writes, Kanye needs to leave the Caucasian women alone. You don't say. I'm shocked at your perspective, sir.
He's pushing boundaries. God. Yo, Tay, how you been, man?
Brother, I'm good, man. I'm good. 2023 ended just with a lot between just us finishing the block party and we're doing the block party and finishing the documentary. So I took some time just to rest for a little bit. So I'm good, man. I'm good. How y'all brothers doing? Ebro, did you have a kid?
I got a kid in a couple of weeks. We got a baby on the way, a daughter, another daughter. Thank you for asking, sir.
Congratulations, brother.
Thank you so much. For the audience that's tuned in, you know, Little Brother has a documentary which you can watch on YouTube right now, and put together by Little Brother and some other individuals. I wasn't familiar with the names, but you guys were actively involved. This isn't one of those those documentaries that weren't ran by the artist first that you see on the internet. Absolutely. This was Little Brother was actively involved here, and it opens the documentary with the likes of Doja Cat and Drake and I forget other Kendrick standing there with the rapper Big Pooh, and just you guys being this bridge between kind of that 90s sound into the modern sound today. And I really love how the documentary sets that up.
Thank you, man. Thank you. We did this. This was 5 years in the making. We started working on this in 2018. And with Rap Portraits, that's Holland Gallagher, who's our director, and Yo Phillips, who's our writer. And, you know, we started working with them. They're younger than us. And we thought it would be, we thought it was important to have a younger eyes kind of looking at our story, because they would give us some perspective that we just didn't have. And they would have, they would catch some of the emotional blind spots that maybe me and Pooh may have missed. And so we started working with them. And 5 years later, you know, we got it. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done, creatively, professionally, personally.
Why was it so hard creatively?
The mountains, man. What's up?
Like, why was it so hard creatively? Like, just the amount of time digging in your memory. Like, what was it that made it so challenging?
Man, it's everything. It's so when you're making an album, you know, you kind of have one song at a time, and you can kind of hear what you're making as you're making it. And you can make one song and say, okay, I like this one, this is dope. You make another song, yeah, this is dope. With a movie, you don't know what you have until the very end, and either you got it or you don't. And particularly with documentary, you know, I've heard stories of people shooting on stuff for years, and then they sit down with, to do the first cut, and they realize, oh, we don't have a story. You know what I mean? And yeah. So it's just, it's super stressful, man, because you really don't know until what you have until you look at it. So we got our first cut New Year's Day of 2023. It was last year. That was when we got our first cut of this, you know, version of the movie. And we saw it and we were like, okay, we got it. And so it kind of took a big load off everybody's shoulders because we know we got it right.
When you look at artists that clearly, you know, built, you know, their, I guess their hip hop journey, or were highly inspired by your rapping abilities and all of that.
Y'all might want to turn the volume off of the, there you go, off the trailer. There you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. When you look at that today, you know, much of what you guys talk about in your music was always that battle between, you know, expressing your true selves as human beings, as individuals who had a, you know, a Black experience in America and being on these stages, but also dealing with white corporate capitalism and kind of that whole struggle, right? And so you see artists today that, you know, whether it's the Drakes or the Kendricks or even, you know, Doja Cat, whomever, how do you see them handling some of the struggles that you see? Because I see artists struggle on social media. Like you start to see artists really dealing with in public, just not in the, you guys dealt with it in your music. But this social media thing is giving artists a whole other platform.
How and Rasan, you could bring Pooh in as well. Now that Pooh's here as well. Bring rapper Pooh in. What up, Pooh?
What's good? What's good?
What up, bro?
The rapper. Yo, man, that living room is amazing. Look at that.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's immaculate, crazy, isn't it? Bro.
No, but hold on real quick. Man. The first time. Yo, Ebro, you remember what happened the first time we saw that?
Yeah, it was a lady. She was in the office somewhere. We was in.
Yeah, but I made a joke about it. Like, I didn't catch it, and it was super awkward that I thought it was her real living room. Yeah, it was super. I was like, wow, you're rich for a teacher. Whatever you do, it's really working out.
It's my baby grand back there that I can't.
I was like, wow,
that's
Pooh's
where y'all
musical.
Play the keys for the UBN theme.
Exactly, right there.
Right there.
Right there.
Yeah,
back to that question. Yeah, man.
Yeah, to answer your question real quick. Yeah, with social media, man. You know, we came up in the era where it was, you know, it was kind of the prototype of social media with message boards. And, you know, it was, you know, the internet, and it was kind of the building blocks for what we now know as social media, but it does not move as fast now as, you know, it's not move as fast back then as it does now. So I think with artists now with social media, you know, it can kind of be a gift and a curse because it can really, I'm just looking at our case. We had a situation where the internet helped our music to move faster than we were developing as artists and as people, you know what I mean? And I think now it's, you know, to the 100th power, you know what I mean? So I think with a lot of these artists now, they're able to use social media to use your voice. But, you know, we had Lin-Manuel Miranda on QLS a while back, and he said, listen, man, I don't use Twitter because anything you say on Twitter becomes a press release. And I'm like, yeah. So it's kind of a double-edged sword these days.
You know, it's funny. I never think about it like that, too. And then every once in a while, I'll realize, like, I tweeted something and, you know, maybe it was an emotional moment, whatever, me being stupid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I don't think about the fact that there are people from every part of my life that are following Twitter, many of which I don't even know who they are. Like, I don't know who has it or not. Mm. And you're like, did I want to share that with everybody
that
at
part.
Every job I have? That's, you know what I mean? So you're right. Press release is an interesting way to put it. And when you guys got started in the early days of the lawn, which was the message board.
Yeah, man.
And the OK Player, the lawn days, like, you know, it was you actually had an opportunity in those places to get to know people on a level that's certainly much different than it is on Twitter. No,
absolutely.
Would you agree, guys?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It wasn't as many people. It wasn't as big, you know.
And there was room for like long, like poo. There was room to have like long conversations. People would have like arguments over time and write paragraphs and go back and forth, and literally, like, really, truly build friendships on there.
Absolutely. It wasn't as fast as Twitter is. It wasn't, you know, the speed of light. Well, not necessarily speed of light now, but it was more of a connection you were building with somebody as opposed to just, you know, a fly-by-night comment or somebody jumping in the comment and have no idea what's really going on. They don't know the context of the conversation. So it was more of a conversation just over time.
How do you guys, you know, feel at, you know, it's 2024? Right, y'all been cooking up together for half your life.
For real, legit.
For it, literally.
Yeah.
But that's got to feel great. Like, there's got to be joy. And I'm sure when you guys sat down with this documentary after it got to, you know, I mean, even sitting down to decide which content you were going to put in and figure out the story arc and the whole thing. How emotional was that for you, Pooh?
Oh, man. It was this emotional. When we got the first cut back last New Year's Eve.
February, New Year's, yeah.
Yeah. After everybody left my house and my wife went to sleep, I then went into the room and I had to watch the first cut by myself with headphones on. It was one of them things that, you know, you put so much of yourself and so much of your life into a project. It was surreal watching, surreal seeing and hearing at the same time. And I think the beautiful part about it was Fonte and I, we sat down and we watched, not together, but we watched every interview that was done for the documentary, except for our interviews. Like, I didn't watch his, he didn't watch mine. I didn't even watch mine. I just went, I think I sat for like 6 hours one day and answered, you know, did all the questions, but we didn't watch each other's and we didn't watch our own. We waited until we saw what got put in the film. And that was probably the part where it was like, ooh, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, because the interviews was raw. Like, the interviews was raw. It was the main interviews that you see from Pooh and I, those are all just one take. For everyone else in the doc, we, you know, gave the questions beforehand, and then Yo and Holland would kind of finesse them or whatever to present to them. And, you know, everyone else got the questions beforehand. For me and Pooh, we was like, look, we don't want the questions beforehand. We just gonna sit down in front of the camera and let's go. And yeah, man. So it was one long take, one continuous day of shooting. I think my interview might have been like 6. Pools was around the same, 5, 6, something like that. And it was really raw. And the thing with documentary is that you can have in your mind what the story is, but somewhere along the line, someone drops a bombshell in their interview that just takes you on a totally different direction. And so it's a discipline. Like, you have to know, like, okay, what's pertinent to the story, what's not, like, what to keep. Oh, this is dope, this is funny, this is amazing, but does it really serve the story, you know? And that took a while to figure out, man. I mean, documentaries are mountains, bro. I just take my hat off to anyone that's ever done it, that's ever completed it, and just film in general. It is a completely different beast, man, for real.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Do you guys hear from any of the artists that have, you know, talked about your influence on them?
Not the bigger ones. we don't hear from the bigger ones. I mean, you know, when I see some of them, I mean, it's still all love. It's not a thing of like, you know, they ignore us, but it's also not a thing of where I go into my phone and have constant conversations.
Right, you know,
it's not one of those things, but it's more typically when you run into somebody or, you know, you happen to have to get on the phone or whatever, but it's not a thing of like I said, we not picking up the phone and, yo, what's good? Yo, what's up? Yeah. What's up? Like, you know.
It's yeah, Doja reached out around the time when she did the Whatever You Say, that video. She and I, we texted for a little bit, but that was really it. I mean, in terms of the doc, I mean, we've been getting, last time I was in New York, I ran into Fredro from Onyx. That was my first time like meeting him. It was just really quick. And I'm like, yo, what's up, man? Big fan. He was like, yo, the documentary, son. Yo, I watched it. Yo, I was like, oh, okay. Alchemist, big up to Alchemist. He reached out, you know what I'm saying? Yo, say he watched it.
Definitely. Big up to Buck Wild.
Absolutely. Yeah. DITC. Yeah. So yeah, man, a lot of the OGs have been reaching out and like saying that they love it. And that's really all you can ask for, man.
Absolutely. And I guess it would be interesting too, because, you know, we see a lot of our, you know, we're all probably around the same age. We see a lot of the people who laid the groundwork for us to have employment today, whether that be as a DJ or on air, media, whatever. And you want to pay homage, right? But you also realize that the reason you're able to make a little bit more money than the generation that came before you is because of them. And I'm 100%. Sure to you guys too, like you looking at, you know, these world tours and Doja Cat and all this other stuff. And you're like, yo, must be nice. But I have to ask you guys, would you have even wanted that level of superstardom? Financially, yes, of course.
Of course, right.
Yes.
But there's stuff that comes with that.
No.
I don't want a million strangers in my life, dog.
No.
I do not need a million strangers in my life. Yeah, we've been blessed to just make the music that we want and to have a fan base and nurture a fan base that always shows up for us in whatever we do, whether it's music, whether it's the block party, whether it's doing, you know, the documentary, just anything that they see Pooh and I do together, they understand that that's little brother. You know what I mean? And we've been fortunate enough to just nurture that base. So, you know, we pull up when we want to pull up, you know what I'm saying? We bust a move when we want to bust a move, and just having that freedom above all else. That for me is what's most important, you know what I mean, more than any fame or any whatever. You know, I'm able to do the things I want to do, take care of my family, and stay out of the way.
Absolutely.
I know you guys have spoken on this other places, because it's kind of like the no-brainer question, but can you tell us what was the level of conversation or lack thereof with Ninth with regard to the doc and his lack of involvement?
There was no conversation. There was we reached out, he never responded, and that was the conversation.
Can I be raw for a second? You guys can tell me we know each other well enough. You can just be like, nah, we're good and move on. It's fine. But I just asking because we're here live. I'm ass.
Sure.
As someone who's known you all over the years, and I'm certainly not up to date with like the latest in people's long-term relationships, I like don't understand. I don't understand. It just doesn't, like, there are hip-hop like things that have happened with groups where you have like an idea of what's played out. You know what I mean? Like we remember Eric and Paris. Someone got tied up in a house. There was a
right.
She got crazy. Like we saw, like Ice Cube was talking.
Oh, and by the way, they still worked it out.
Yeah, yeah.
They still worked it out. Right, right.
No, they're fine. They're fine.
On tour right now. Right.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Dre had Eazy-E dancing in the video with the "Will Rap for Food" sign. Like we've seen all this shit. Whatever you're comfortable saying, I just don't kind of understand what's going on with you guys and Ninth.
Yeah. Well, everything that, you know, that went down, I mean, it's in the doc, you know what I mean? So for those that haven't watched the doc yet, every question you ever had about Little Brother is answered in the documentary. And yeah, I mean,
and nothing's changed since then in the post-production of it. There was no further conversation.
Nah, there's nothing new to report.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Oh, well, hopefully, I mean, listen, man, if people, you know, if Kid Cudi and Lupe Fiasco can work out their differences, hopefully Little Brother can too.
That's yeah. And I mean, say. Listen, and there's no, I mean, it's all in the doc, but you know, I just, at this point, you know, we're two separate entities, but you know, we coexist peacefully, and you know, we coexist as two separate entities, and you know, there's no negativity and no malice and no love lost or anything. Like you said earlier in the interview, Ebro, I mean, listen, dude, we started this when we were in our 20s, right. And you know, we're in our 40s now, and you know, sometimes, you know, it just, you know, people you met, you know, at certain points in your life, you know, they just don't go on to that next stage of your life, and you know. And that's just how it is sometimes.
Pooh, go ahead.
No, I'm about to say it's okay. It's life. It happens.
Listen, fam.
It is true.
Life be life, bro.
Life be life in it for real.
Everybody ain't gonna get along for everybody ain't gonna like each other, and everybody ain't gonna wanna keep talking to the same people, man.
Well, absolutely. Especially, you know what it's like? It's also like sometimes people have kids, as we all know, with people they don't get along with very well. You know what I mean? And the three of y'all came together to have, at the time,
little brother.
Were a throuple. Y'all were a throuple. And now you're just polyamorous.
It was, yo, man.
Y'all birthed a baby, and, you know, we got to figure it out.
Nah, man. That's exactly what it's like. No, seriously, that's a great analogy. I mean, because it really is, being in a rap group, it very much is like a marriage in the sense that, you know, you have yourselves as individuals, but then there is, you know, there's Fonte, there's Pooh, and then there is Little Brother, which is this whole other thing, you know what I mean? And
and you guys have to be equally invested and care for it and be able to talk through when you see things differently with this thing. It's all there.
Yeah, man. Nah, it really definitely is. I mean, yeah, I think one of the biggest examples that I've seen that I saw of a group working really successfully. We were doing QLS. This was a couple years ago. And
that is your podcast on Pandora with Questlove.
It's not on Pandora anymore.
Where is it now?
It's on iHeart.
It's everywhere. Okay.
It's everywhere now. It's everywhere. But God rest his soul, man. But we had De La Soul and Dave and Posse we were interviewing. And they were doing an interview. And every time before, like, Dave was about to say something or before Posse was about to say something, they'd be like, well, excuse me, man. He was like, oh, pardon me. Oh, no, you go ahead. Like, they were the most considerate guys, like the most considerate rap group I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? And afterwards, you know, I talked to Posse and, you know, I was just telling him, I said, yo, bro, I see this is how y'all made it 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, just those
mutual
things.
Respect.
Absolutely. Mutual respect and admiration.
Look, De La's 2023. I mean, you know, the loss of Dave and rest in peace and that whole thing. But the way the community rallied around De La coming to streaming services and getting control of their music and that whole thing was a highlight for me for sure.
Nah, absolutely, man. I was happy to see them boys get their props, man, and get what was owed to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. You know, it's interesting. I had I was talking to Q-Tip the other day and I asked him, this isn't on the record, but I don't think I think he'd be fine with it. I was like, I asked about him not doing any Hip Hop 50 stuff. And he's just like, there is no tribe without Fife, right? Like that is what tribe is. The idea mm-hmm. of him doing stuff without him is like not even, you know, something that he would consider. And then I laughed at him and I said, it would look nuts if at Hip Hop 50 you showed up and did Vibrant Thing. Like, it would just be nuts. Like, that just doesn't. You're not. I love Vibrant Thing.
Love
you're
the not song. Celebrating. Love the it. Song.
You can't show up and do Breathe and Stop to celebrate Hip Hop 50. It just wouldn't be right. But I don't know that Tip always gets the level of respect, because everyone knows Tip and Fife had their share of issues. But the overall respect that he has for what they did as a group, even though people like to kind of be like, they give Q-Tip this sort of bigger, almost ownership of the group. That's not how he sees it. That's not how he sees it at all. You know what I mean? And you do need that respect as a group if you're going to last as a group.
Absolutely, man. Because like Tate mentioned earlier, the one thing we definitely understood and understand is that Little Brother is it's its own beast, its own monster. It takes over everything, anything. And you have to respect it as such. And that's something that we both definitely understand and do. Even as we do our own individual things, we understand Little Brother is his own entity. And it consumes all. Like, it definitely consumes all.
Yeah, it was something that we kind of understood going back when we were doing the doc. And when we came back and did Made a Law Watch, you know, we were off for like almost a decade. And just in that time, we realized that, you know, Little Brother is a garden that we no longer can leave unattended. You know what I mean? It's just something that means, when you've created something, when you've been blessed enough to create something that means something to people, you know, they won't leave you alone about it. You know what I mean? And, you know, when we got back together in 2018, and then, you know, we finished Made a Lord Watch, started touring, and then COVID hit. And those times when we were locked down, that really gave us time to get our garden together. We got the rights back to all of our old music. And we were just really able to set up, you know, our infrastructure and really set ourselves up to win. And even back to your De La point, you know, when I remember, I was so happy to hear Dave say when they got their masters back, they were talking about it. And he was just telling people, like, listen, dude, getting your masters back is not just, hey, I got my masters back and it's all good. Like, you have to have a framework in place in order to properly exploit those masters and get everything out of it. It's not just, I got my masters back and money just comes in. You know, you have to set it up.
You got to put them to work.
You got to put them to work, bro. And I was so happy to hear him say that, because Pooh and I had to do the same thing. And so, man, it's been a blessing. And just, you know, after 20 plus years, to have people still here, you know, still, you know, pulling up for us. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that in a rap career, you know, especially in a music career.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
I don't know. Do you guys keep up on social media like that? Are you guys? Do you guys pay attention to the you know, the most recent hip hop whatever?
Not really. Well, I don't. It's hard, man. It's like,
did you guys see this Most Def Drake thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was
everywhere. We saw that.
Yeah, that one.
That actually made its way to one of many of the group chats.
Well, but it just dawned on me. Little Brother is literally as much the Black Star consciousness and of that kind of cloth as much as you are a part of the building block of what Drake acknowledges inspired him and has become.
Absolutely.
Right. And how would you interpret what you saw Most Def saying and with regard to what Drake represents in hip hop?
Man, well, you want to go first, Boo? You want to?
I mean, for me personally, I don't. I mean, his opinion is his opinion. I don't necessarily. It's not that I'm agreeing or disagreeing with what he said, because it's hard to do.
But it's just his opinion.
Yeah, it's his opinion. You know, if I understand the context of what he was building that answer around, that it's a lot of things going on in the world that, you know, an artist as big as Drake doesn't address in his music. So I understood that part of it. But like I said, man, somebody's opinion of an artist or what they think of an artist, man, you know. Plus, I didn't even know they had this thing, this silent back and forth that they had.
Yeah, it's the, yeah, me neither. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't know
word.
That. Yeah.
He's a little something.
There's something that Rosenberg pointed out and that the internet had worked out. See, when I didn't, and not knowing that, I saw Mos Def, who is a, I mean, look, he's anti-consumerism. Like, he, that's just who he's kind of always been, anti-capitalist, anti-consumerism, Pan-African in many ways. Like, that's who they've always been. And so then when someone asked, is Drake hip-hop, to a purist like Mos Def, he gave this kind of, he didn't say no, but he also didn't say yes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He said he's, and he said he's pop.
And he said he's pop. But you could be hip hop and pop. We've seen this before. Now, you could, you may not like that as an answer, but it's not unheard of to be both. And, mistake, Drake ain't went out here and went Flo Rida on us, and he ain't went, you know, Pitbull on us. He actually has brought the world closer to different musical sounds that may not have even got mainstream play. But because he was making it, it did. Through whether that be, collabing with UK artists, African artists, whatever he's doing, Caribbean music, all of that.
Yeah, I think definitely, you can be both. I mean, you can be hip hop and pop. And, the bottom line is that, listen, dude, once you get past a certain level, once you start selling, millions and millions of records, or in today's case now, having hundreds of millions of streams, because, ain't nobody buying nothing. But, once you get into that level, you're pretty much, that's white folk. know what I mean? That's like, you're going to another kind of stratosphere. And so I don't think any artist, should be penalized for that or looked at differently for that. Because if you're just doing you and a lot of people happen to catch on to it, then so be it, in terms of Yassine, he has always been just one of the most forward thinking people that I've had the opportunity to sit with. I remember this was in 2005. We were mixing Minstrel Show and he pulled up to the studio. He pulled up the bass line. And he was talking about back then, this when he was on Doom. He was, he just did a Doom show in Paris or whatever. But he's been like preaching the gospel of Doom for legit 20 years. And I remember him talking to us and he was like, yo, man, Doom is a new business model. He was like, Doom is a new business model. He said, you're not going to need the labels and this. Mm-hmm. He was like, yo, if you're an artist that can rhyme, if you can spit, you got your own mic. He said, yo, you good. You don't need all of that. And he was talking that in 2005, what I mean? And so he's always just been someone that I look at, in terms of where things are going and just how to navigate your own unique path in this game. He's someone that has always... has definitely been a big brother to us. And so, big respect to him.
Well, and furthermore, everything is right in the world when you see Mos Def not necessarily loving everything that Drake is doing or not liking it. Like, that's what I need. I need that.
You need those dissenting of it. Nah, facts.
Yes.
Facts. Mm-hmm. You need some dissent. Yeah. Yeah, man. He is always, I remember one of the most beautiful quotes he ever gave, man. It was that same night he came to Baseline and he was talking about hip hop and everything. He said hip hop was created so that the sons could take care of the mothers that the fathers abandoned. Mm. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that's hip hop. Period.
That's
you know what I mean? So big ups to Yassine, man.
Their name is Lil Brother. If you never heard of him, shame on you. Don't talk to us about hip hop. But go look at
don't ever open your face.
Don't ever open your mouth about hip hop ever again. But go ahead and watch that YouTube documentary. Well, it's a documentary, but it's available on YouTube.
Let me on YouTube, yes.
YouTube documentary. It is definitely a documentary that just happens to be available on YouTube. And
free for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so, check it out and it's in. Free on YouTube, and you can donate directly to the film. You can hit us at littlebrothernc.com and direct donate, whatever you can, price of a movie ticket. This movie was self-funded. We did it ourselves. We wanted to bring it just directly to our fans. And, YouTube just felt, it just felt like, it felt like that was the truest thing for us, you know, in terms of little LB. That was what we wanted to do. And yeah, man, people been hitting it. So yeah, go check us out.
They also got new music they dropped last September. Wish Me Well, Glory, Glory. What was the, that was just something you threw out, a little Tupac.
Little Tupac, man. That's you right. Know, the beauty of doing that, or us being able to do that, is now you don't have to, you know, build it up into an album. You don't have to wait a year or however long it takes. You can, we literally, from the time we said we're going to do this and sat down to do it until it dropped, I think it was like a week and a half.
Yeah, it was like 10 days. Yeah, 10 days from conception to delivery. And that was the songs, the album art, the visuals we shot, like everything. Yeah,
mixing, all that done in like 10 days. And that, to us, that felt good, that felt right, that felt true. And it's something that we, the excitement of doing that is something we had never experienced. And to be able to do that, it was just one of the things like, wow, that actually felt amazing to do. We ain't got to hold music for a year no more. You could just, right, you just cook it up and serve it.
Yeah,
we like that.
Why not?
Well, let's play that Wish Me Well for the radio audience on the air. We also are streaming live right now on the YouTubes, where Ed writes, I remember discovering Lil Brother through MySpace.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then Shells 386 writes, Conductor Williams is on a mission to reunite Drake and Lil Brother in 24. God bless that man. Who's
Conductor? Well, that is great synergy, though, between Conductor Williams with Lil Brother and with Drake. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, man. Shouts to Conductor Williams, man. Shouts to Conductor Williams, and also shouts to Deionis Cook, who produced Wish Me Well on the A side, and Conductor Williams on the B side. Big ups to him, man. We just reached out to him, and you know, he sent some records, and me and Pooh sat down, went through them, and we was like, all right, this is the one we want to do. And yeah, we did Glory, Glory. So yeah, big ups to him, man. I love that dude. He's amazingly crazy talented.
Well, thank you guys for joining us today. It's always great to see your faces. How's y'all families, man? Because I know, Fonte, you still writing children's theme songs, and you was making some real bags off Sesame Street for a minute.
Yeah, man, big Sesame Street bags from public television. Yeah. nah, man. Yeah, still doing like writing for TV and everything. You know, families is good. You know, my boys now, they are 23 and 18.
Damn.
So, I'm sure this is for Rosenberg. Yeah, my son Dylan, who rapped on the Kev Brown album literally probably like 20 years ago. Bro, he is 20. Wow. He's 23 now, dog. He is 23.
Is he still rhyming?
He does still rhyme. But he's my son, he's more, I mean, he's 23, you know what I mean? So it's all the auto tune, it's all everything in front of the beat. Like it's the new young boy.
What is their problem with the pocket? Why do people hate being in the pocket?
Yo,
why
I'm gonna be real. Listen,
what is
I have
wrong?
A theory.
Jello pudding pocket. What is wrong with the pocket?
That filth, flawed filth. Listen, dude. I have my theory, man. I think that it just sounds like anxiety, and I think because you know, for us, you know, the time, it always switches. So when we were coming up, it was all about being behind the beat. This is the era of, you know, of Jay, and also, you know, from the production standpoint, for us it was Dilla, so everything was late, everything was kind of, you know, behind the beat. So for Jay,
there was a jankiness to it.
It was loose. It was because that exudes confidence, you know what I'm saying? Nothing says confidence like, I don't even care to show up on time. I mean, you know, so it was that. But now the kids now, I mean, listen, you dealing with a group of kids that grew up, you know, doing school shooter drills since they was in second grade. Yeah, their music is going to sound frenetic and, you know, like that.
A little chaotic, like, a little bit.
Very chaotic, very chaotic. And so I think, you know, that's their expression. So it's like it goes against everything from my era that I feel. But I understand that that's their era, and every generation is supposed to break the rules. You know what I mean? So
I love that explanation too. I appreciate you for that.
Hey, that's all I got, man. Because I listen. No, that was good. When I hear it, I'm like, oh my god.
Yo, and Pooh, just love. How's your family? Everything good on your side too, brother? Before we wrap up.
Yeah, everything good over here, man. We just welcomed another child, not into my house family. Not into my house. I'm an uncle again. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So I just want to make that clarify that. But we good over here, man. Just, you know, working and, you know, putting out, you know, many fires. You gotta go on. Put your
iron in the fire, son.
Yeah.
Yo, I gotta say, man, this 40 thing is pretty lovely. If you know anybody watching this, if you do the work and you're really willing to do the work, this 40 into the 50s thing, once you like, you're like, yo, like you said a second ago, Fonte, you was like, listen, I don't want a million people in my life. My life. I like the money I make when I want to make it. And I'm in control of the narrative, and it's chill and it's quiet. I come outside. Ain't nobody like, you know, doxing my personal life on social media. I ain't got to deal with, you know, crazy fans and all that.
You know, I remember seeing, I forgot who he was talking to or who was talking about him, but a thing about Michael Jackson, how he rented out a store just so he can go in there. They closed the store down just so he can go in the grocery store and shop like he was normal, right? And he asked person, like, you just get to go in the grocery store and get what you want and nobody bother you? And I always, like, I thought about that and I was like, yeah, bro, like, that's me. Like, I like to spend 45 minutes in the grocery store and I'm only getting 5 things and nobody bothers me. I don't want to give that up. That's my time, you know what I mean? And you know, it's little things like that that when you're as big as some of these guys are, you know, when you're not as big as they are, you take for granted those little things that you're able to do. And so I can speak for, you know, me and Tay here. We always appreciated those little things and those moments. And that's something that, you know, the bigger you get, the less you're able to do. And I like to do all of those things. So just pay me and let me go cook.
Well said, sir.
Period. Yeah, there it is. Little brother, man. Go look at the doc, man. Appreciate y'all, brothers, today. Thank you.
I appreciate y'all.
Thank y'all, man.
Much love.
Always.
Later,
see
man.
You soon. Take care.
WQHT and WQHT HD1, New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.